Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. Revelation 1, verse 9. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and patience. In Jesus was in the island called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. I became in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, what thou seest write in a book, and send to the seven assemblies, to Ephesus, and to Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And I turned back to see the voice which spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lamps, and in the midst of the seven lamps, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment, reaching to the feet, and girt about at the breasts with a golden girdle. His head and hair white, like white wool, as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass, as burning in a furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters, and having in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth a sharp two-edged sword, going forth, and his countenance as the sun shines in its power. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I became dead, and behold, I am living to the ages of ages, and have the keys of death and of Hades. Write there what thou hast seen, and the things that are, and the things that are about to be after these. A vision is when, in the scriptures, when God reveals something to his servants, which is revealed to them specially from God. A vision is something that is outside of this world. It is beyond anything that we know of in this world. And it's revealed because God has chosen to reveal it to the person who received the vision. Far beyond and greater than anything that we've seen in this world. In a sense, that's what the Bible is. It's a revelation from outside of this world. How wonderful that is. I feel very humbled to preach this passage. Preachers always normally feel humble to preach anything from God's word because it has so much power. But this is a vision of the future. This is a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John was a normal, everyday person like us, if you like. John was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. John had seen all the miracles that Jesus had done. He'd heard the words that Jesus had spoken. He was the closest disciple in some ways. He was the closest friend of the Lord Jesus when he was here during Jesus' life. Jesus was born in a humble place in Bethlehem and grew up in Nazareth, as we know. He grew up in a place that was not regarded as important or special in any way. Nazareth was a place that was looked down on. It was a place that people thought was a place that nothing good would come out of. John saw everything that Jesus had done. He'd seen him die on Calvary's cross. He'd seen him rise again. But this, dear friend, is a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ as where he is now. That's what makes this such a special passage. And Revelation is a book of great visions. God is revealing something to us from out of this world. All of Revelation, in a sense, is an out of this world book. It talks about events on the earth, but it talks about something that's beyond our everyday, beyond our minds to fully understand. And that's why the gospel is so wonderful, that God is revealing something to us. He's showing something to us which we cannot find in the world, no one in the world can know except through the Holy Spirit. Only true believers can understand. But the gospel is preached tonight so that you might become a true believer, so that your eyes might be opened to see the reality of what God is wanting to show you. So John was on the island of Patmos. It says he was the fellow partaker in the kingdom and tribulation and kingdom and patience. That means he had suffered for the Lord Jesus. He had gone through a hard time for being a Christian, but he was in the island called Patmos. Patmos, you can look up on the map. It's an island in Greece. And he was put on this island for being faithful to Jesus. He was like a prisoner. And something amazing happens to him. He says, I became in the spirit on the Lord's day. The Sunday is the Lord's day. That's a good reminder, isn't it? Today is the Lord's day for believers. For the rest of the world who have no time for Jesus, it's a day for doing everything else, isn't it? But the Lord's day is a special day for believers, for Christians. And he became in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one of the persons of God. God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he became in the Spirit. So the Spirit is going to reveal something to him. The Holy Spirit is going to show to him something which is far beyond and out of this world. And in a sense, the gospel is out of this world. The grace of God is so great. The grace and mercy and kindness of God is so great. It's beyond anything that man can think of. And he heard behind him a voice, as of a great voice, as of a trumpet. And he says, write what you're going to hear. Write down what I'm going to show you. And then there's these seven churches that are mentioned here. Those are actual places. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. Those are actual church places where they had Christian churches. And we've been reading through Revelation with the young people recently. But I wanted to focus on the voice that spoke with me. He turns round and he hears the voice in verse 13. 12 and verse 13, and he sees in the midst of the seven lamps one like the Son of Man. That's a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a vision of Jesus in his risen, majestic power and majesty. Every true believer has seen something of this themselves. Not in the same way as John had, because John had a very special revelation of Jesus. We can see what happened to him at the end of this passage as a result of seeing that. But every true believer has some vision of seeing the Lord Jesus in his majesty and in his power. The Lord Jesus is greater than every power in the earth. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, all power has been given to me in heaven and upon earth. What an amazing statement that is. And every single word which Jesus spoke is true in its fullest sense. That makes him different from us, doesn't it? We say things that are half-truths, don't we? We say things that are perhaps outright lies sometimes. Every single word that Jesus says is true and perfect. How wonderful that is. In the Sunday school, we learn memory verses, and sometimes, often, the memory verses are the words of Jesus himself. How important that is to remember and learn the words of what Jesus says himself. He says things, verses like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How wonderful those words are. How beautiful those words are, the words that Jesus speaks himself. But he's speaking to us tonight through the gospel. He's speaking to us so that we might recognize who he is. There's two things that the preacher wants you to know. One is the glory of God, the Lord Jesus. And the second is our need of him. There's two things I want you to remember tonight. The greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is covered in this passage, and the greatness of our need of him. We need the Lord Jesus if we are to receive eternal life and not go to hell in judgment. If we are to escape the judgment that's coming on this earth, on each one of us, we need the forgiveness which is found alone in him. So he sees the Son of Man. He's clothed with a garment reaching to the feet. And he's girt about the breast, that means around his middle, his chest, with a golden girdle. The golden speaks of him as a king. He is a king. His head and hair white like white wool. He is perfect and holy. White often reminds us of holiness and purity in the scriptures. White like white wool as snow. In Isaiah says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white like white wool. How beautiful that is, that God offers us an opportunity to be cleansed from our sins and be made clean like snow. When snow has freshly fallen, it's very, very white and clean, isn't it? God wants you tonight, dear friends, to be washed clean from your sins so that you're ready to stand before God in His the final day. He wants us to be ready to be washed clean so that we are ready to go into heaven. God can only let into heaven those who are washed clean and white as snow, which is why Isaiah wrote that, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Have you been washed clean from your sins, dear friends? Have you been washed clean so that you're ready to go into heaven? Have you received that forgiveness that's only available through the blood of Christ? His eyes are like a flame of fire. His eyes like a flame of fire reminds us of the power and judgment of God. Fire was what came down from heaven when Elijah called on God to prove himself. God proved himself through fire, falling down and burning up the sacrifice. The bush was on fire when Moses was in the desert. God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. There was a massive fire, and yet the bush wasn't consumed. The fire reminds us of the judgment of God. God will one day cleanse the whole earth of sin. The whole of this earth is going to be burnt up, like it says in Peter. Peter's epistle tells us that this entire world is going to be burnt up. We hear talk today, don't we, about the terrible effect that nuclear weapons could have if they are used. How awful their power is. An enormous fireball that would cause death to millions. And yet God is going to finish this earth. He's going to fold up this earth, and it's going to be folded away as a garment. And all the earth and the works in it will be burnt up by fire. That shows God's anger against sin. It shows God's judgment against sin. God has seen every lie, every theft. God has seen every single act of sin. And he has to deal with it, dear friends. His feet are like fine brass, and his voice as the voice of many waters. Waters in the Bible often remind us of the vast peoples of the earth. Waters, the Bible talks about waters. The waters cover the earth, don't they? About 70% of the earth is covered by water. But his voice is like the voice of many waters. His voice is speaking to us tonight, dear friends. His voice is speaking to you and me. No matter how young or old we are, his voice is speaking to us. His voice is telling us that this is the time to trust in him. This afternoon at Sunday school, a young boy called Mate told us that he had trusted the Lord Jesus as his saviour. How wonderful that was. I was telling them that we were singing a song called "He's Coming Back." And we were reminding the children that Jesus is only coming back for those who have put their faith and trust in him as Lord and Saviour. And Mate told us that he had done that. What joy it gives us. He is coming back for those who have heard his voice. He's coming back for those who have heard his voice in the gospel, so that they might put their faith and trust in what he has done at Calvary's cross, and so that they might repent of their sins. That means turn from their sin and put their faith and trust in him. He has in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth a sharp two-edged sword going forth, and his countenance as the sun shines in its power. What an amazing description that is of the face of Jesus. I don't recommend that you ever look at the sun shining in its power. Yesterday we had a bit of touch of the sun, didn't we? Never ever look at the sun directly. But this gives us a little picture of the greatness of the Lord Jesus. The face of him. His face shines in heaven. He is given the place of majesty and honour. He has been given that place of honour in heaven. Because of what he has done. Because of what he has done in coming down into this world to die for you and me. This vision was so much for John. Have you noticed his reaction in verse 17? This was John who had been his closest friend through his life. This is John who had been his closest disciple, who had seen everything that he'd done. He'd seen Jesus go to the cross. He'd seen him rise again. But when John saw him, notice in verse 17, I fell at his feet as dead. I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one, and I became dead. So he fell at his feet. We need to fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus, not as dead, but we need to fall at his feet to recognize who he is. Peter did that. Peter repented. He said, Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, Lord. He recognized that he was a sinner. He recognized that he needed Jesus. To fall at his feet is to recognize the greatness of who he is and to recognize the greatness of our need of him. But he laid his right hand on him. The grace of Jesus was so great that he raised him up. He raised him up and he says, Fear not. And Jesus would say that to us tonight, Fear not. How many things there are in the world around tonight that people are afraid of. Many, many things people are afraid of. The greatest thing to fear, dear friends, is dying without the Lord Jesus. That's the greatest thing to fear. That's the thing that you need to fear more than anything else. Dying without being forgiven of your sins. That's how much you need forgiveness, dear friends. John was his friend, and yet he fell at his feet as dead. How sobering that is, the power that the Lord Jesus has. But that power tonight, dear friends, is towards you in the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ would say tonight, Fear not. And in a sense, these words tonight are the message of the gospel. Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I became dead, and I am living to the ages of ages. In a sense, that's all you need to know in the gospel. Jesus is the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He's the eternal God. He's the creator by whom the worlds were made. But most importantly, he became dead. He allowed himself to be taken and crucified and nailed to a cross on behalf of, because of you and me. He died the death that we deserve to die, dear friends. He was on the cross for your sins and mine. Have you recognized that? Have you asked him for forgiveness? Have you asked him, like Matthew, to be your Lord and Saviour? What a wonderful change happens in your life when that happens. Matthew told me that he prays to the Lord Jesus when he's scared and afraid. How wonderful to see the faith of a young child. We pray that Matthew one day be a servant of the Lord. The Lord Jesus became dead, and behold, I am living to the ages of ages. That, dear friends, is the hope of the gospel. That is the truth of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ is now living to the ages of ages. And he has the keys of death and of Hades. The only way we can be ready to meet a holy and righteous God who has seen everything that we've done is to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. To put our faith and trust in what he did at Calvary's cross. His blood was shed. His blood was poured out at Calvary's cross so that you might be forgiven. So that you might have an opportunity this day in 2022, to come before God in repentance for your sins. That means to say sorry to God for the things that we've done and put our faith and trust in what Jesus has done at Calvary's cross. He became dead, but behold, he is living to the ages of ages. That, dear friends, is the wonderful hope of every true born-again believer. Every true believer has put their faith and trust in this one who is living to the ages of ages. And one day he will reign. He will reign and all enemies will be as the footstool of his feet. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord, and every knee will bow before him. And one day, dear friends, he is coming to take every one of us that has put their faith and trust in him. May we not have that fear. May we not have fear. May we have the true assurance of salvation. May we truly be living. Living, having an eternal life. Eternal life is only found through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rest of this book is the things that are going to be. And we know that the things that are written in Revelation are shortly to take place. And that makes the gospel urgent, dear friends. Many terrible things are coming on the earth in a short time. We don't know exactly when, but we know that many terrible things are happening. And there are many, many signs. For those that have eyes to see, there are many signs of those things coming very shortly on the earth. That is what makes the gospel even more urgent, dear friends. We do not know whether we'll have another week of the gospel being preached, but we do know that the Lord Jesus is available tonight to everyone who comes to him in repentance and faith. May you do so before it is too late. For his name's sake. Amen.